Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, thank you for joining us for Everything Under the Sun, the AccuWeather podcast. I'm your host, meteorologist Regina Miller, and I'm joined in the studio by Andy Robb, my producer. And this week, we decided that the two things that go together great are travel and great weather. Right, Andy?
Absolutely.
I mean, who can disagree?
Everybody wants great weather when they're going away
somewhere. It's Halloween. You know, sometimes in Halloween, you want kind of like gloomy, a little scary weather.
Maybe a little thunderstorms here
and there. Maybe a little thunderstorm or low clouds.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Exactly. So we decided to bring back in the studio travel vlogger and AccuWeather video producer Lincoln Riddle. So folks that are a regular listener to the show may remember Lincoln when he talked about the Great American Road Trip.
That's right.
So we decided this week we would talk about Halloween travel plans and maybe a couple of great destinations you can head to. So Lincoln, we're happy to have you back in the studio. You just got back from Ireland, right?
Yep. I spent like 8 days there. We drove around the island. We went to Dublin. It was a great time.
That sounds awesome. I so want your life.
Well, you know, it did.
You
it
need
did,
somebody just to carry your
if,
stuff.
If you're not looking for rain, don't go there. It
so
does rain a lot.
Basically, I'd be just carrying an umbrella and like,
yeah.
You know,
but yeah. It was nice. You know, it was moody. It felt like what you'd think Ireland would feel like. So,
oh, and you
I like the weather.
Yeah, you don't mind it. You don't mind the rain. Yeah. Now, you said there was something kind of creepy there. Because we're talking about creepy destinations because it is Halloween.
Right.
But what was like the creepy thing you said you did there?
Well, so we spent a couple days in Dublin, and our very first day there, of course, we made a stop at the Guinness storehouse. We couldn't go there without trying
obviously.
The Guinness. But, but also on top of that, we stopped by this church, which underneath it has these crypts that you can walk through. It's like a long, dark hallway. It's kind of dimly lit.
Ooh.
And in there, you've got these spooky, you know, they're literally like mummies, and you can see them. And some of them are actually out of their, like, caskets, so they're just laying there.
Are you serious?
Like, it was.
How many Guinness did you have before you went over?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Well, so that one you were telling me a little bit earlier on has kind of like a weird weather tie-in. And we want to do this whole trip at some point coming up in one of our episodes. So we want folks to stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. But for this week's trip, you were talking about where are we heading?
Well, it is, you know, of course, fall, and Halloween is just around the corner. So what better place than probably two of the more iconic Halloween spooky destinations? You've got Sleepy Hollow up there in New York, and then, of course, Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, Salem. Yeah. Salem, so creepy. So tell me about the trip. Like, actually, Sleepy Hollow? What I'm familiar with about Sleepy Hollow was like the Disney growing up with the Disney thing
Disney
and Ichabod
film,
Crane and like the Headless Horseman. So I'm interested in hearing more about that. But let's start with Salem. Tell me about Salem for a creepy Halloween trip.
Well, for that, let's kind of jump back to the year here, 1692, back when people were being accused of witches. That's kind of what Salem's known for, right? Those witch trials. But you know, because of that, that's why people go to Salem, of course, and there's a lot to do there, a lot to see. Those witch trials ran 1692 to 1693, and basically they were a series of trials for those accused of witchcraft. More than 200 people were accused of practicing. 20 of those were executed. 19 of them were hung. The other was tortured to death.
I know. Like, you know what is so weird about the witch trials? So one of the stories that really stood out in my mind for like how they would try them was the water test.
Oh, yeah?
Did they talk to, like, I didn't know if they did that in the tour, but where, so they would throw a suspected witch into water.
Oh, wow.
So if she sank, she was innocent.
Is that where we get
and therefore died, sink or swim. I don't know if that's where we get that, but and if she was guilty, she floated and they would execute her. So I'm like, you can't win.
Yeah.
Once you're accused, really, once you're accused, it's not innocent until proven guilty. I mean, it's just like once you're accused, you're guilty.
Well, isn't the idea like, oh, you throw water on a witch and they'll melt? Is that kind of like where we got that?
Well,
from,
they said that what would happen is if they floated, it was because they had renounced baptism and the water kind of rejected them so that they were in cahoots with the devil. So they would actually execute them. So if you floated, you die. But if you sink, because they hogtied him. Yeah, but if you sank, they hogtied you, so obviously you die. So I'm like, there's no winning once you're accused of a witch. But so what was that witch, like the museum, and like what was that whole place like?
Well, okay, so like I said, there is a lot going on in Salem when it comes to witches.
Yeah.
When you go to Salem, everything is kind of witch-themed. Even the police cars have, like, witches on them.
Really?
So there is a lot to do. If you're going to Salem, you can, of course, go to where the hangings were. That's called Proctor's Ledge.
Oh, I heard of that before, yeah.
Yeah, and that actually... is a new spot. They originally thought that this happened somewhere else, but in recent years they realized that this is where it happened at. So they've built a memorial there. So if you're going to Salem, good place to kind of start out. Check that out, and you know, see where that history.
Does
resides.
It feel eerie? Like when you go up there, does it have like a
well,
weird
you know,
vibe?
Well, you got
to
that
it?
New England weather going on, and you know that fall weather. It's kind of wet and cold.
Yeah.
So it feels like. What Halloween should feel like.
Yeah,
I guess.
Feels kind of creepy.
So it kind of, yeah, it matches the mood. And I mean, I guess when you see the witches everywhere, it gets you in the vibe at least. I don't know if I feel scared.
But, right. You know. Right. Right.
So as I said, you know, one person was tortured to death. 20 people were killed. One tortured to death. That person was actually tortured to death on the grounds of a cemetery, the Howard Street Cemetery. And that cemetery is there today. It opened in 1801, so it wasn't there at the time that this person was tortured to death. Now, what's interesting about this person...
Do you
know
how they were tortured?
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm jumping the gun.
Yeah, you got to hold on. I got to build it up.
Oh, okay. All right.
But this person... was tortured in a manner that's never been done before then and hasn't happened since. By court order, they were pressed to death.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you do the math. They, you know, stick some stones on you, stick just a bunch of heavyweight stuff.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine how crazy that was.
So, yeah, that is the only recorded time in American history someone was pressed to death by court order. And you can go at least to the location. And since that cemetery is so old, it is interesting just to walk around. Plus, knowing that history kind of makes it more of an interesting stop.
Oh, okay. So now you said that one went in after the torture of this person. Right. So they're not – are there a lot of witches in that cemetery? Like accused witches?
That's a good question. Are there people there? Are there not? I'm not 100% sure. But the graves are very old. And then, of course, you got that history. So it makes it a cool stop.
Yeah.
Just to visit in the town. And that's not the only cemetery we're going to talk about in this podcast, because I've got another one for you coming.
Oh,
that one's really exciting. There's a lot of famous people there. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How many dead people are in that cemetery?
Enough, I guess. You know, Salem is a really neat place to walk around. So even if you're not big into like sightseeing, you know, there's just a lot to see. And like I said, everything's kind of witch themed. So there's all these like little shops. They're selling like Halloween stuff and horror stuff. And then, you know, just the over like witch feel. There's the signs have the witches on them, that sort of thing. So it's a neat place to walk around. But another great stop is the House of Seven Gables. Now, this was made famous by Nathaniel Hawthorne. And the book was bearing that same name that he wrote. Hawthorne, of course, wrote The Scarlet Letter, which most of us probably read back in high school.
Yeah, every required reading.
Right, yeah. And so this is just a mansion. It was built in the 1600s. It sits next to water. You know, it's like it's pretty because it's got that old, like, New England architecture going on. But it's just, you know, again, it's back to the history. A lot of the stuff in Salem goes back to the history of it. And it's an old house and it's a mansion. It's black. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's just interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a book lover, definitely it's a great stop. And his birth home is actually right next to that, Nathaniel Hawthorne. So you can walk around both of those. There is also, you know, as far as buildings go in Salem, a direct tie-in with the witch trials is kind of hard to come across.
Oh, really?
It is, yeah.
That surprises me.
But there is a house. It's called the Witch House, which, in my opinion, you would think when you hear that, you're thinking like people standing around a cauldron brewing something up.
Right.
You know, it's like the Hocus
like
Pocus
Bette
movie.
Like Bette Midler and I'm trying to think of who else was in that. But yeah. Come on, sisters.
Unfortunately, the tie-in isn't that. Right?
Okay.
Oh, great, but it's not.
Ken's laughing because I'm doing Bette Midler's impersonation.
Unfortunately, that's not the tie-in, but it does have a direct tie-in to the witch trial. So that's actually another house that was built in the 1600s, and it was owned by a judge who was a part of the witch trial. So it's interesting due to that rich history and its architecture. It's some more of what you'd expect out of the Northeast from that time period. So it is the only building left in the area that has a direct tie to the witch trial. So if you're wanting to get as
close as you can, it's the judge. This was the judge of the witches.
Now there is a witch dungeon museum. So again, maybe you're thinking there'll be some cauldrons there, some witches. Yeah. There's not that, but there is reenactments that go on there.
Oh, now that would be cool.
Yep, and they do reenactments of the witch trials. And there's even a actual like replica dungeon of what the witches would have stayed in when they were being like held. So yeah, that's a great place to go, and you kind of get, again, it goes back to the history, and you get like the the feel of what it was like back in the day.
See, that I think would be like, was that like one of the number one spots would you say to go to? Because I think that would give you such a flavor of what that must have been like, is watching those reenactments.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a cool spot. I don't know if it's number one.
Really,
a lot of these are pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I like the cemeteries. I think going traveling to cemeteries is really interesting.
Well, so, you know what? I went to the one in Savannah that's like really well known from Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, that book that was out. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, cemeteries, you go through and you start reading. And some of the old cemeteries, they put like stories with them.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Where they'll put when they died, but then they'll put some kind of like
blurb.
Yeah, like blurb.
Or
like
caption.
Yeah, they do. They put a caption. Yeah. So, but yeah, they'll have some kind of weird epitaph or something on there. And you're like, wow, it's like, I remember. I remember reading one that was like, suffered a bloody something. And I was like, and some of it was faded away. So you just saw that. And it's like, ooh, that
suffered
is so creepy. Like, I don't even know what happened, but it was like a really, really old tombstone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's one of the reasons why. I mean, it's just there's a lot of history there, especially the older ones. And those, you know, you're looking at something that tombstone may have been erected 200 years ago. So it's kind of cool just to think about
know,
as far as history goes. And I have to say, if you're going to Salem, there are a lot of guided tours. Guided tours are a great way to learn more about the history of something and just see more stuff that you might not, you know, as you're walking down a street, a building may just be a building to you. But once you find out that, oh, this building was built in the 1860s and this is the history of it, you know, it's just more interesting.
Oh,
that way.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of guided tours there in Salem. You have night tours, day tours. So you can kind of pick your flavor if you don't want to be out late at night.
Is there ghost tours of any sort?
I believe there's a vampire and ghost tour. And they also have like tours that take you to some of the area's most haunted spots. So there's like a wider range, for anybody from families just to, you know, the person who wants to go all out and experience the spookiest of the spooky.
So that's Salem. Now, you also talked about Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah,
in New York. That's a pretty quick trip. I mean, somebody could do this as a long weekend trip.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at, you know, let's say you're leaving Thursday, you could feasibly go to Salem Friday and then drive down to Sleepy Hollow Saturday and kind of see it in the afternoon and maybe leave Sunday. It's a quick trip, but it's definitely doable. Salem is only a couple hours from Sleepy Hollow. Of course, Sleepy Hollow is just north of New York City. I don't think people really realize, like, it's really close.
Yeah.
It's not at all far away. It's actually next to the Tappan Zee Bridge, which is in the news a lot, it seems. So, of course, Sleepy Hollow is famous for the legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Right.
And there's a lot of activity there if you're interested in that. There's a lot of activity there relating to that. Some of the things that I recommend, really two big things that I recommend, one of them being a cemetery, of course.
Yeah, of course.
you got to visit like the old church of Sleepy Hollow that was made famous in the book. It's in the story. It is it was built in the 1600s, and it's just a really obviously old church, and it's kind of got that Sleepy Hollow vibe. You know, when you go there, it really creates that kind of like energy in your mind of, you know, helping you kind of think about the story while you're there. And the church is actually next to the cemetery that I'm going to reference here in a second. But the church is used for special events throughout the year still. So it's not like, it's just a tourist attraction.
It actually is a functioning church.
Yeah, it's actually in use. And during like the month of October, you can actually go there and they do like readings of the book, and like, you know, someone will stand at the front and they'll tell the tale, the legend of Sleepy Hollow. It's like candlelit, you know, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
Definitely something worth checking out. Now, like I said, it is next to a cemetery. It's just the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. But this cemetery is massive, and it's an easy stop because it's next to the church. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of famous people buried there. Now, the legend of Sleepy Hollow was written by Washington Irving, so he is buried at the cemetery. When you walk around this cemetery, there's just so many big names. It's like, wow, this is like actually something to see. Like, there's mm-hmm. people here I want to go look at their grave. And so you've got Washington Irving, of course, Elizabeth Arden.
Makeup. Yeah.
She founded the cosmetic empire bearing her name. You've got Andrew Carnegie, still tycoon. Walter Chrysler. And then there's even...
I wonder if they were members of this church. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for all these people to be in this cemetery is kind of crazy.
And the church that owns the old church of Sleepy Hollow is actually still in existence. Of course, they, like I said, use that building a few times a year, but it's still in existence. So in theory, if you went to Sleepy Hollow and you wanted to go to... what that church has become, you can mm-hmm. do it. And there's even a handful of Rockefellers buried in there. And these graves are, you know, kind of like big time. I remember specifically like Elizabeth Arden's grave, mm-hmm. not particularly like overwhelming in the way it looked. It was kind of like just a headstone.
Oh, it wasn't real ornate?
It wasn't really ornate, no. There were a couple flowers on it, but a lot of them are kind of really big. Like the Rockefellers is like, you know, big, you look at it, you're like, wow, that's one heck of a grave.
Where they do like the building on it.
And there's several people there, so it's like it is much larger than just something that was built for like two or three people.
Right.
And so it's a really cool cemetery to walk around. They have maps to show you like how to get from one one grave to the next, and it's kind of focused on like, oh, there's a lot of famous people.
Yeah,
here,
right. So, they want you to be able to go find those headstones.
There's like a handful of actors and like politicians and like just a lot of famous people buried there. That was some of the highlights. Of course, you do have like the old Sleepy Hollow Bridge. And so there's a lot just to see in Sleepy Hollow that's kind of themed around mm-hmm. the actual book. And that's what makes it a great stop, just off that history. Now, you mentioned the Disney animated version of Sleepy
Hollow.
That's
the one I remember.
I remember the like 1990s, I think came out in 99, the one with Johnny Depp in it.
Oh, did you see that, Andy?
I think I did. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It's a good movie.
But yeah, no.
So you know what? Not only now do I have a destination, I'm going to watch that.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to find that and watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, it usually runs. I mean, it's Halloween season, so it's going to be on
with
TV.
Hocus Pocus.
With Hocus Pocus. Hocus Pocus was on the other night.
Oh, was it on already?
I definitely watched it with my pumpkin spice. So.
Yeah.
So.
Pumpkin spice flavored everything.
Yeah.
So well, what would you say was your favorite thing then? Was it the cemetery in Sleepy Hollow?
The cemetery in Sleepy Hollow is, we spent a lot, me and my wife also, she's really...
Does she like that too?
She likes...
Or
she's
is she
what
reluctant
me,
at walking through the cemetery?
She's what got me into the cemeteries. At first, I was like, why are we going to so many cemeteries? We travel to a lot of cemeteries when we travel. Like, we've been to New Orleans, and we've been to Paris. We've been to the catacombs in Paris.
Oh, wow.
We've just been to all these places where there happens to be a lot of dead bodies. And so I was like, why are we going to so many cemeteries? And but it kind of started to grow on me, and I started to understand, like, you know, it's, first of all, it's just interesting to walk around, but sometimes there's a lot of famous people buried there, or it's just a really rich history. That cemetery is really cool. You could spend a day there just exploring, mm-hmm. Looking at the graves and just seeing, you know, some of the more famous ones, and even checking out, you know, the people who weren't famous. And mm-hmm. It's a great place to walk around. Plus, it's right next to the church. Makes it an easy stop, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Any great food people need to check out?
I don't have any.
Food
recommendations.
No, I can't believe it. That'd be the first thing I'm trying to find.
Well, you know, it is near New York. So there's go.
There's everything.
Yeah, there's
everything in New York. So, well, since this is the AccuWeather podcast, we may as well get into a few what they can expect weather-wise in Salem.
Of course.
Yeah, in Salem. So, if you're planning on visiting Salem at this time of year, so if you're going in late October, mm-hmm. this is when it's making the climb to the second rainiest month. So there's a decent chance for rain.
So you got
to
bring your umbrella.
Take your
ponchos.
Umbrella. Yeah, take all that stuff, because there's a decent chance for it. And the average daytime highs in late October is in the low 50s. So it'll be kind of cool. But like you said, that's that good Halloween vibe,
you know?
Yeah. So
Never let the weather get you down when you're traveling. It's a part of it. You know?
Yeah.
That's the fun part. Everything goes wrong. It's great.
Well, everything goes wrong. It's great.
Yeah.
That's your new quote. Your new slogan. slogan for your travel vlog. Everything goes wrong. It's great with Lincoln Riddle.
Right. But sometimes when like the weather can be bad, sometimes that almost makes for almost a more memorable trip. Sometimes.
Right.
Like I remember one time.
Aren't you a Pollyanna? Because I am like the person walking around trudge, yeah. Well, complaining. Like, yeah. I can't.
It's true though,
weather.
But weather can really make a big difference. I remember my best memories were on a vacation with my family. We're on the boardwalk down at the shore, and we got caught in just this massive downpour,
yeah.
And we had to go all the way from one end of the boardwalk to the other. And you know, yeah. In Ocean City, Maryland, like
yeah.
That little train that goes along.
Like, watch the tram car.
Yeah, please
and
look out for the tram car.
We were running with ponchos on, and that's like the one trip that we talk about the most because, hey,
that's
remember
true.
When we got caught in that downpour and we were all soaked, but we were all having a great time.
Yeah, that's true. It does make something to talk about later. At the time, it's kind of a drag, but
yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Lincoln.
No
and
problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah
we got to get him back in here. Again.
We do. Well, we want to talk about the Ireland trip.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because especially what you were saying about the crypts mm-hmm. that you visited, they do have a weather tie-in that folks might not suspect. Mm-hmm. So we want to...
And even the Guinness. The Guinness has a weather tie-in.
Are you
Who
serious?
Knew?
Yeah, he told me about this before we recorded, and I'm not saying anything, but it's really interesting. Yeah.
Oh, well, then we're definitely going to do that one.
Yeah.
So you'll be back in on here soon, I'm sure. So thanks, Lincoln.
All right.
And of course, our thanks to our very own Lincoln Riddle. If you want to see more of his travel content, we got to plug his YouTube channel. Make sure to check it out.
Right.
Lincoln Riddle. He's got all kinds of great travel videos everywhere, like from Europe to New York City, just all over. Find out great things about what to do at his YouTube channel. And we got to do another travel show soon, I think.
Yes, we are going to do another travel show soon. And we just want to thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week when a brand new episode of Everything Under the Sun drops.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.